So, good evening and everyone. So, when I was young, one of the things I've been thinking, I've been searching, I keep asking myself, why I've been alive? What is the meaning of life? When I was young, I was, you know, and I just couldn't find the answer. And then I remember when I was very young, my elder sister, she's older than me many years. So when I was 6, she already got married, and she had a baby boy. And that time, I remember that this is how we, you know, when your childhood conditioning. So then, you know, I find that, you know, other people have the toy that is not the real thing. I have the toy, it's a live toy, you know. Then I like to play with my nephew because he's so cute, you know. And I like him so much, you know, he's so cute. Sometimes I feel sorry for him when I think back, you know, because he's so cute. Sometimes I play, I cannot stand, I bite him, you know, because he's so cute, you know, I will bite him. And this is give me that, you know, how we conditioning it from childhood. Then I have that perception of, yeah, this will bring me happiness if I have my own child. I have happiness, you know. Then this is how then I say, okay, this is life, you know. Then I grow up. I want to become a mother. I want to have my own child. Then I be happy. You know, I have my own child. I'm happy, you know. Because this is how the perception, you know, when you are young, you have that. This is how we develop the perception through our experience, isn't it? How we experience things, isn't it? If we have some good experience, then we perceive that this is something good, isn't it? So I think that, oh, this is something good. It would be nice if I have my own child, you know? You know, because it's fun, you know, that when I was young. Because other people that have the toy is not the living. Mine is a live one, you know, that is really nice to play with. Of course, it's not always the case when I grow up. Then I was thinking, you know, that is how, you know, that I can't wait to grow up, you know, to become a mother, to have my own child, you know. So as I grow up, you know, that is something that I'm thinking that that's it. This is what I'm aiming. This is my goal, you know. This is my life, you know, I try to find meaning. I said, this is really this is the meaning of my life, to become a mother, to have my own child, and that's it, you know. Then I achieve my goal. So, you know, then I grow up and I got married. Of course, it's not always the case, you know, because it's someone else, you know, baby, you know, you play with it, you return, you know. Isn't it? You have no responsibility. Of course it's nice, you know, but if your own child, it's different. And then I realized, oh, so much suffering, you worry about him and he got sick, you know. And you just, you know, once you've been a mother, you know, you're always a mother, you worry about this, worry about that, you know, and he gets sick. Then it's not really fun, you know. Then I realized that, because I've always think that, you know, yeah, you know, once I grow up, I got married, I got my child, then my life is complete. So I think that is full, you know. This is what I was thinking. So you're talking about complete. So do you know what is the difference between finish and complete? Is there any difference? Finish and complete? So complete, you know, when you married to someone that is a wonderful person, you know, a nice person, a beautiful person, you know, then you're complete, your life is complete. But if you married to someone that is really nasty, so you are finished. Yeah, finished. So, yeah, this is how, you know, I keep searching for that. Then I realized that, no, it's just not that. And then I realized that, that's it. Am I going to live my life like that? Going to job, and then I come back, and I have to look after my son, you know. And I started to have lots of fear, anxieties. That I was thinking that, gee, actually, I'm going to live the rest of my life like that. I think that is a really scary thing for me, you know. I said that because I don't have the satisfaction of just living the life like that, you know. I feel empty, I'm still looking, I'm still searching. What is that? Is it life is more than that? It's just that life is just like, you know, working, looking after children, you know. And that's it. And then what happened? When I grow old, then I die. I find it so scary. And one of these things that I never wanted to touch when I was young, I was thinking that I really don't know the answer. I used to tell myself, okay, you're too young to think about that. So you worry about it, you know, as you grow older. But it doesn't mean that you don't look at it, you know, it's not there, isn't it? It's always there. But I just pretend that it's not there, just living in denial, you know. And then I only bring me to really look into that and really face it when my mother passed away. That's really a wake-up call. That really, you know, when my mom passed away, that really that is a wake-up call. And really make me to really look at it and look at the things that I never want to touch. I find that it's a scary thing to look at. You know what I mean? After that, what is that about? You know, after I die, you say, I'm still exist. Where am I going? You know, I find that it's so scary. And I find that it's a lot of fear to think about that. It's very fearful. So until my mom passed away, that really hit me. You know, that's really hit home. That's something that I really have to look at, you know. That I cannot run away anymore. I cannot live in denial. I cannot pretend that it's not there, you know. So then I said, yeah, I try to look, what is that? You know, it's alive. It's more than that, isn't it? So after my mom passed away, then I have more deeply look into life and really look at it and really face it. I can see a lot of then I started to into the, because even though I'm a born Buddhist, I'm normally not never get into, you know, Dharma and things like that. Only once in a while I will go to West, Katina, these sort of things, but I never involved in, you know, because I don't really have much understanding of the Dharma. Because to me, I was thinking, oh, being a Buddhist, you just go to the temple and you just pray to the statues. Then I was thinking a bit silly doing that, you know. So that's why I don't understand, because no one, you know, I'm not being told, and then I don't know about the Dharma. So I thought that being a Buddhist is just praying to the statues. That's all I know. So when after, it's just, I think just this karma is ripened, you know. So after my mom passed away, so I started to learn to meditate. So I learned to meditate, and then I find more inner peace, you know, sitting meditation, and I start to enjoy. And then slowly, I really not interested in a lot of things that I've been doing. Like, you know, it doesn't really attract me, you know. And for example, when I was still a layperson, when I'm working, I used to with my colleagues, you know, each month that we will look for the best restaurant or a new restaurant, you know, the taste, the best food, these sort of things. But I find that even doing all this, try to get things, try to, you know, try to fulfill my desires to have this, to get this, you know, I don't find that it's any, it's not fulfilling at all. Like, you still feel that is empty. You know, that is not fulfilling. It's still like you keep wanting something, you're looking for things, you accumulate things, you know. And then as I let go more and more, and also eventually I let go of my son, the only son that I attached so much, that, you know, that when I decided to become a nun, that is the most difficult thing to let go, is my son. Because that the attachment towards my son is so great, because that he's my only child, you know. That is like, I just feel like, oh, it's part of me, you know. To let go of him, like, I just feel like just cutting part of my flesh. That kind of feeling is painful feeling. Then I realized that, you know, you have to learn to let go. Because, you know, one day, you know, whether you like it or not, you know, I have to leave him, you know. That he's got his own world. And he doesn't belong to me. But because of the sense of self, because of the possessiveness that I think that he belongs to me, I have the ownership that I own him, then actually, even though it's very painful, but that letting go was really good. When the moment that I really be able to let go of him, I feel such a relief. I feel that kind of relief, you know. Then that I really, my first insight, then I realized that, yes, now I understand what is the meaning of life. It's not what I own, what I accumulated. Actually, is how much I can let go, how much I can give out. I think that is really the meaning of life. Then as that only I start to find, I understand what is meaning of life, to let go. But it, of course, it's not easy to let go, you know. I heard people like to say, letting go, letting go. Just today, I just telling some, I just you know, in monastery, I just told, I was giving a reflection, because someone used to tell me that, you know, and someone have go through a lot of unresolved emotion, and this person said to me that, you know, sometimes drive me crazy when you try to, sometimes you just a lot of unresolved emotion, you just need to add it. When you try to tell someone, someone will tell you, let go. Ah, oh, something so small. Why don't you let go, let go? You know, I mean, it's easy to say and done, isn't it? I think 3 years old kids also know how to say let go, isn't it? Who don't know how to say let go? I mean, talking about it is easy, but doing it is difficult, isn't it? Let go. So small thing you can't let go. Because the person who said that, I told this person, I said, this person who said that is not really compassionate. If you're really compassionate, you won't say such a thing. If someone really compassionate, you have the wisdom. Someone that really have the compassion, you have the understanding of the cause and effect, the karma. You have the understanding of the conditioning. You have the understanding of that is non-self, you know. And because we come from different background and different conditioning, isn't it? Sometimes I say, sometimes things to you is small, but to the other person is very important, isn't it? And sometimes things is very small to the other person, but to me it's very important. We're just different, isn't it? Because we come from different background, you know. But we just don't judge, you know. How come you cannot let go? It's so small thing. But to you, it's small thing. To me, it's not, isn't it? We just come from a different conditioning, different background. So if we truly compassion, we don't judge that person because we understand that this is just a cause and effect, you know. I remember that someone told me that when her kids, you know, there's a boy and a twins, you know, going they attend the teacher funeral when they came back, and then the boy said, oh yeah, I'm a bit sad, you know, because my teacher passed away, and the both of them about 9 years old, and then the girl said, then he said, oh, I cry, you know. Then the girl said, oh, I didn't cry. And the mother said, oh, you didn't cry, you're not compassionate. I said, I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't cry, you're not compassionate, isn't it? So sometimes, like, sometimes people think they're compassionate, but actually they are not. Sometimes a true compassionate, if someone is a compassionate person, someone is very peaceful, very calm, very wise, and happy. So I know some people told me that, oh, I practice compassion, I have so much suffering, and I always, they get emotionally involved. So when you get emotionally involved, that is not a compassion, you know, a true compassion that you have the understanding of the suffering of that person. You know that why the person, you know, you understand that, you know, whoever go through the trauma, some people go through a childhood trauma, you know, because you're not that person, you cannot comprehend, because it affects the whole life, you know. They have to go through that, you know, especially childhood trauma. And that is just the cause and effect. If you were to go through that, you know, anyone will go through that, will have the effect of that. So when you grow up, you know, that's right, when mentally is not that healthy. And another lady, even worse, you know, she told her daughter that you shouldn't cry. If you cry, your eyes will get smaller and smaller and smaller. Then the daughter, of course, the daughter don't want her eyes to be so small until like a line, you know, just a line. Then she told her mother, you know, I just really want to cry, but you know, I'm not allowed to cry, but I want to cry. You know, actually, cry itself is good, because every parts of our body, even the tears, you know, we are not having that for nothing. That is the reason we have it. Actually, crying actually is a way to release our emotion. We need to release, you know. That's why you see, you know, and, you know, according to the research, you know, the statistic, like women, you know, having a longer lifespan, because women just easily cry, because it's helped to release your emotion. Actually, it's good to cry, to release. That is a skillful way. And also the statistics show that, you know, the suicide rate, actually men is higher than women. Because men, you have to be tough guy. You cannot cry, especially for Chinese. That you rather, you know, as a man, you share blood but not tears. You know, have to be tough. And then you lost the suppression, you know, that suppress, you know. Then you become, so how much you can suppress, you know, to a point that you cannot hold anymore. You just crazy. You explode. And it's, you know, they say sometimes that it's not easy for someone to just let, it's easy for us to tell people to let go, but we are not that person. We are not in that person's shoes. We can never comprehend. But if we truly compassionate, we understand the suffering. We don't judge that person. It's not because of that person, you know, bad or good, you know, no. It's just that, it's just the effect of that experience, is just the effect of that, you know. So that's like, you know, I said, if the person is truly kind, compassionate, they won't just ask you, letting go. Everybody know how to let, you know. If it's like that, we all easily, isn't it? We don't have to keep the precept. We don't have to meditate. We just let go, you know. You can't do that, you know. It's just, you know, you cannot just set and done, let go. I think 3 years old kids also know how to set, let go, isn't it? But doing it is not easy. It takes a lot of practice, you know, to be able to let go. And how to really let go? The let go actually takes time, bit by bit, you know, to let go. It's not over, will not happen overnight. So, first of all, you know, when we have to be able to recognize, isn't it, really that we attach to, what that we are really holding on to, that causes us suffering, that we cannot let it go, you know, that we have to be able to recognize that. It's not easy to be able to recognize that because it's all conditioning. And we like just an automatic pilot, whatever, you know, that a robot, you know, we just keep reinforce our tendency. Our conditioning is like we develop a certain habitual pattern. Then whatever that emotion comes up, so we just react. So we keep reacting, we keep, you know, reacting to our emotion, you know, in a certain way. We keep repeating that, you keep reinforced like a spiral, you can never come out. You can't see yourself. So you be able to recognize that it's not easy. You have to develop the clarity. I remember someone asked me, they said, you know, I was told that we all being conditioned. It's not our choice. Sometimes we think that it's our choice, you know, like, for example, we bombarded by all this advertisement telling us that, oh, you have this, it's good for you. And then we think that we make a choice, you know. Actually, it's not. We've been brainwashed. We've been told. We've been bombarded that this is good for you, you know. Since young, you know, this is how we've been conditioned, you know. Then he said, then how am I going to change? If it's all conditioned, it is not my choice. And I told him, you can't change. Then he was a bit surprised. He said, can't change, how am I going to change my life? I said, you can only change when you be able to recognize that. You be able to see that. What causes suffering? What is your underlying tendency? What is that causes you problem? But that takes a lot of practice, isn't it? That require clarity in order to see that. It's not easy to be able to recognize what you're holding on. If you don't even, some people don't even know what are the things they're holding on to that causes their suffering. If you can't see that, you are unable to let go, isn't it? How to let go? You don't even know. That sometimes, even subconsciously, we are doing that. We have certain habitual pattern, we have certain tendency. Even sometimes, when we be able to see that, it's also not easy to let go. Because this habitual pattern, you know, is just like an addiction. Even we know that this is going to cause us suffering, it's quite difficult for us not to react to that. It's like an addiction, you know. Drugs, you know, we know drugs is no good, but when you're addicted to that, you can't help yourself. Your non-self is addiction, you know, because you've been conditioned that way. It's so difficult to go against that, you know. So there's a side to be able to recognize that. You have to practice, you know, like for example, practice generosity to you know, the practice generosity, you start to let go of something that easy to let go, like material things, you know, that is little by little, you know. Then we offer things that, you know, that, you know, maybe we would like to have it, that is okay, we give it to someone, you know, or we offer our time. Then that is, you know, with the letting go happen from a coarser level to more refined level. We cannot just say letting go, you know. It's the training is just like, it's just like, you know, you building your mental muscle is exactly the same, like you go to the gym, you need to build up your muscles, you know. So of course you have to do the easy one first, isn't it? You know, the weightlifting, you cannot say I'm 200 kilo, 50 kilo. You can't, isn't it? You have to start with 1 kilo, 2 kilo, isn't it? The same thing, you do the easy one, you know. Practice generosity, you know. Being kind, being generous, you know. Then you letting go. If we can't letting go of our material things, how can we letting go of more refined, you know? The defilements is more refined. Our craving is difficult to let go, you know. So we do that, practice generosity, you know. Then we keeping precept, you know, like keeping precept, actually we restrain ourselves not to follow our tendency, say no to our defilements, you know. Like, yes, no, I'm not going to follow. Because it's so easy to follow the stream than to go against the stream. So keeping precept is a way to help us to decondition ourselves, not to follow our tendency, not to feed our habitual pattern. Because it's easy to go along with our habit, but to go against, you know. So keeping precept, you know, purify our virtue, help us to say no to our defilements, and it strengthens our mind, you know. That is that. Then, because when we have that, we have more strength, you know, to be able to recognize that. Because sometimes, imagine whatever comes up, we keep react to that, we keep repeating the same thing, you never come out of it, you never see yourself. Because seeing oneself is difficult because it's too close. You know, that's why you, when you do that, you stop the mind to follow the whole habitual pattern. So then after that, you know, when you stop that, you know, when you have that, you know, then you develop meditation. Practice, you know, present moment awareness in your daily life, you know. So the, you know, moment to moment, whatever you do, constantly bring your mind back to this moment. Because sometimes it's very difficult for us to stay in the present moment, isn't it? We always relive, you know, our past, you know, always revisit to what happening. We cannot let go, you know, this person have done this, that person have done that. They're quite difficult to let go, isn't it? So it's that actually practice present moment awareness brings your mind back, you know, not to always revisit and relive our past and worrying about future. Sometimes, you know, some things that haven't happened also, we start to, you know, project, you know, this is going to happen, isn't it? And then we start to worry about the future. And talking about this, worrying about the future, is remind me of there was a couple on their way to get married. And this young couple involved in the factor accidents, and they found themselves in front, sitting in front of the pearly gates, you know, waiting for St. Peter to process them to heaven. Then while waiting for St. Peter, and they said, you know, I wonder whether we can get married in heaven. You know, they said, oh yeah, I'm not sure. So yeah, but we will ask when St. Peter comes, you know, we ask him whether we can get married in heaven. So eventually, finally, you know, St. Peter turns up. Then he show up, he said, oh yes, that there's one thing that I would like to ask you. We were wondering, you know, whether we can get married in heaven. Then St. Peter said, oh, this is the first time someone ever asked me that, you know. I don't know, but let me find out. And he left. And then two of them, you know, waited and waited, you know, for 1 month. Still, St. Peter didn't show up, you know. Then while waiting, then one of them started to wonder. He said, you know, I wonder if we cannot, our marriage, you know, didn't work out. Can we get a divorce? you know. So they say, yeah, I think we wait for St. Peter, you know, whether when he come, we ask him whether we can divorce, you know. So they waited, and then another month's gone past, you know, 3 months gone past, and then finally St. Peter turns up. He show up, he said. Then he said, you know, I have a question to ask you. We were wondering whether we can, you know, we can get a divorce, you know, if things don't work out, can we get a divorce in heaven? And St. Peter's face was so enraged, and he was so angry, and he just threw the clipboard onto the ground. Then two of them really frightened. He said, what's wrong? He said, come on, you know. You know how long, you know, it takes me 3 months to get a priest to come here to hear, you know, that you, to take 3 months for the priest to come here. And you have no idea how long it would take me to get a lawyer here. And this is how sometimes, like, yeah, heaven has, this is how we do that, isn't it? Things haven't happened. Haven't got married, you know. Thinking about divorce, you know. Think about what happened if it doesn't work out. This is what we do, isn't it? So then our mind is always live in that, isn't it? And always, you know, get, you know, that, you know, distracted, and we just always have that worry and things that and affected by the past, you know, what has happened, you know, things that haven't happened, we got worried, isn't it? Haven't got married and thinking about divorce, you know. This is how we do, you know. That we never present, but sometimes it's really, people don't see that actually, you know. To be able to have even each single breath, if you be able to breathe mindfully, itself actually is such amazing. It brings us amazing and surprising freedom, isn't it? We are free, isn't it? When in present moment, we are free. But all this life, how we live our life, we never free, isn't it? No freedom. We bound by that. We always, you know, get, you know, when we think about something not happy in the past, you know, then we got upset, we got angry, you know. And then even something that is good, but when it is past, then we say, oh, you see those good old days, you know. And then you miss that, you know, I hope that I will have this, you know. Then we don't know, we don't have moment of peace. No freedom. We're bound by that, you know. So that's why be able to live in present moment, you know. We be able to, even one breath, we be able to breathe mindfully in this moment. We have that moment freedom. We don't say that, isn't it? That is really, that if you develop that, then this is how you let go, you know. When you develop your mindfulness, when you strengthen your mindfulness, then you be able to develop your stillness. Your mind becomes still. You settle. Then when your mind is still, you have the clarity. You be able to see what is your underlying tendency. What causes the suffering? Because some of those, especially those refined defilements, is very difficult to see. Unless you have the clarity. Unless you develop that strength, unless you have the stillness. If not, it's very difficult to see. So that in daily life, you can do that, you know. Whenever you find yourself wander off, you know, to the future, worrying about things, you keep bringing your mind back. Just keep doing that, keep doing that. This is how you train your mind. It's just like those Olympic, you know, champion. This is what they do, isn't it? You know, they keep doing one action, you know, for 10 years, 20 years, isn't it? You know, the same thing, you keep doing that, bring it back. Then eventually the mind won't wander off, know how to come back. You have to condition, you have to train your mind to do that. So you do that, you develop that. Then you be able to recognize. But sometimes when we be able to recognize, it's very, very difficult for us to be able to acknowledge that, yes, this is something that I hold on to and not be able to let go. Because of the reason why we not be able to acknowledge that, because of we have this compulsive you know, thoughts, you know, I should be able to do this, I should be able to do that, I should be, do, you know, that should, you know. No, like a compulsive thoughts, you know, I should be able to, you know, after I practice it so long, I should be able to let go, I shouldn't hold on to that, you know. And you not be able to acknowledge it, it's okay, it's still there, you know. It takes time, depends on how ingrained, isn't it? If it's more ingrained, it's more difficult to work with, you know. But it just takes time. It's just a matter of time, you know. So that's why people to acknowledge that, recognize it's a process. It's not that letting go just happen like that, you know. You have to be able to recognize that, to acknowledge that, and to be able to accept that. You know, to come to a place of acceptance is difficult. I remember recently someone told me that because of he's really very difficult to accept the way his father is, because he finds that his father is a bit like, he always seen when he was a child, he always don't want to be like his father, because he think his father like too laid back and a bit irresponsible, you know, person. But he not be able to let that go. He not be able to accept that, because his father, you know, if someone's father is okay, you know, I not be able to accept my father as my father is. So he's, even though in theory he understood, you know, like, you know, but he said it's difficult for him to accept that his father like that. So then I said, then he find it very difficult for her to accept that. Then I said, why don't you accept yourself that you not be able to accept your father? Then it's easier, isn't it? And someone also told me that she's not accepted to her friend, like the group, you know, that they always exclude her when they have anything. They don't let her know. They exclude her, and she felt that she's not been accepted to, you know, the friend. I said, it's okay. I said, why don't you accept that you're not been accepted, you know? Then you feel better, I said, you know. I said, this is how you come. The acceptance itself actually is letting go. It's okay. We accept ourselves. It's okay that we feel this way. It's okay sometimes I feel grumpy. It's okay that I don't always feel perfect. It's okay that this is how I feel. But because of our sense of self, we think that we shouldn't. We have these compulsive thoughts, you know. I should be happy. I shouldn't feel that way. Because I've been practicing, I should be happy, happy all the time. No, you know. Sometimes this is, everything arises, pass away. If you have the understanding of this is part of nature, things won't stay forever. But even unpleasant feelings is also go. So that's like sometimes if you understand that this is just part of nature, whatever, things won't stay. So, but we try to hold on to something that is pleasant, and we try to get rid of something that is unpleasant. We can't do that. Because this is part of nature. If you truly understand, you know, this is life, this is part of nature, this is the part of the, you know, the three characteristics that is non-self, you cannot control, you know, if you understand that, you, and then this is just, you know, part of life, you know. One day we're going to die, you know, that is part of that, you know, to be able to accept that. If you not be able to come to the place of acceptance, it's very difficult to be at ease and at peace with oneself. You have lots of fear, anxieties, and it's unhappy. You don't have a moment of peace. It's very difficult to have the inner peace, inner happiness. So, and actually, people don't see that letting acceptance itself is letting go. You letting things be. But we always try to interfere. You know, they say sometimes we don't have to worry so much about our defilements. Defilements come, defilements go, isn't it? It won't stay. But the problem is we try to interfere, we try to get rid of it. But if you don't react to that, it will subside. Whatever, for example, anger arises. If we don't react to the anger, we leave the anger alone, the anger will subside, isn't it? We don't have to do anything, but it's very difficult. It's easy to do something than not to do anything, isn't it? Because we've been conditioned that way. We've been conditioned that whatever unpleasant, we try to push it away. We've been conditioned that way. Sometimes we can't help ourselves doing it. And that's why to be able to remain that unreactive awareness is very difficult. It takes lots of practice, you know. It takes time. It's possible. So you just have to keep practicing, you know, to be able to come to the place of acceptance and let it go. And forgive ourselves. forgive whatever stupid things that we have done. No one is perfect, you know. It's okay. If we are perfect, we are not here. You know, we don't judge ourselves. So when we don't judge ourselves, we don't judge others. We understand that it's non-self. No, it's just cause and effect. It's just that, you know, what has done has been done. We just let that pass, you know. We can't do anything about that, you know. So all we, you know, we forgive. You know, we forgive ourselves, you know. Again, if we be able to train ourselves to live in present moment awareness, you know, then actually you can let go easier. Because the reason why we cannot forgive, you know, cannot let that go, because we're always living in the past. What have this person done, you know? Sometimes I keep telling people that, you know, when we forgive someone, it's not that going to benefit the person that we forgive, you know? Because that we're holding on to that, actually, we are the one who suffer. It's not the person that, you know, that have done us wrong, suffer. Actually, we suffer. We can't let it go because this person has done me wrong. And I think I should punish them, you know, I shouldn't let them get away. But we have all these negativities and that negative emotion, that anger. It's very unpleasant. You know, we suffer, isn't it? So actually be able to forgive to others, actually we are being kind to oneself, you know. So sometimes you hold on to that, it's not being kind to ourselves to be able to forgive. Then only we be able to let go. So they say sometimes that, you know, you really want to find meaning of life. It's just not how much you accumulate. I remember someone told me that, you know, that she's resigned her job and look after her child, and the friend said, oh, then you have no income, then you'll not be able to buy your child when he grow up a car and house and things like that. So I said, actually, what you give to your child, your son, is much more, is priceless. The love and care you give. This is what he needs. I said, it's not that, you know. I said, some people think that I have to. One of my sister-in-laws also the same. She has no time for her children. It's the maid. The children spend more time with her maid than with her. She always think that I have to earn a lot of money. I have to accumulate so much thing. I have to have a lot of a property and so many, how many dollars in the bank, you know, leave behind, you know, this inheritance for my kids. So, but actually, you know, that is the best inheritance is not how much you leave behind. It's not a car, it's not house. Because eventually that also can't take with you. You have to leave everything behind, you know. So I said, that is the best inheritance is that you show them the way. To teach them, to give them love. If someone grow up with lots of love, lots of care, and then they're naturally someone is very confident in themselves, very kind and happy person. I said, that is the best inheritance that you can give to your children. Is not how much money in the bank or, you know, or how many property that you can give. No, this is the best, you know, that to teach them how to be generous, how to be able to let go, how to be able to be at ease and at peace with oneself, you know, to be able to free themselves from that defilements that causes that suffering, you know. That is the best inheritance that we can give. They say, so if you try to find what is the meaning of life, it's not how much you can accumulate. It's not what you accumulated. Actually, it's how much you can let go. The more, it's just what Achan Cha said, you let go a little bit, you have a little bit of happiness. If you let go more, you have more happiness. If you let go completely, you have complete happiness. Sometimes we see that where is our suffering lies? It's come from the holding on, not be able to, you know, to let that go. The attachment is come from the sense of self. We think that we own everything. We think that we own our children. We think that we own our experience. We think that we own our feeling. We think that we own whatever we experience. We think that those experiences is me, is mine. No, whatever experience is come and go. It's just arising, pass away. Pleasant feeling arising, pass away. That's it. But we misinterpret that. We think that this is belongs to me. We think to we try to own it, but when we try to own it, we cause a lot of suffering because it doesn't belong to us. So that's why if you try to find what is the meaning of life, that is not to get things, but how much you can accumulate, how much you can let go is not what you accumulate. So I offer this for your Dharma reflection. May this teaching be of benefit to all of you. So any questions or comments? Give her in the mic.
Varahasapana, when you talk about letting go, you know, yeah, my mind was thinking of, you know, the Buddhist saying, the path towards nirvana, you know, nirvana is letting go of greed, hatred, delusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's letting go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then another thought came to me, you know, the path towards enlightenment is the middle way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was thinking, yeah, so letting go, no doubt, you're freeing yourself, you know. But we've been conditioned, you know, to sometimes to have like a, to have like a desire,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. So would it be like a letting go, not like gradually, you know, fully, you know, like depending how you feel, you know. If you can let go more good enough, you know. Like to be let go to become a monk or nun, this thing, or you can get letting go more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For lay people, gradually.
So no one is born as a monk or nun. We also go through that. We were lay people as well. It's a graduate training, you know. It's just letting go more and more. To letting go of your family, to letting go of that doesn't mean that I let go of my son. I don't love him. I still love him. Like, for example, he still call me. Like, sometimes he need to talk. I'm always there for him. It's not that I don't care, you know. So, lots of people don't understand they're letting go. They think that they get rid of things. No, you know. And some people think that I remember when we doing that renovations and looking for the color and things like that, you know. And then one of the men that helping us with doing the work, he said, oh, you are none, you know, you should let go, you know. I said, this is attached to letting go. I can't say that, you know, I'm doing like a project, you know, I let go. So I simply paint whatever color. I put my roof green, I put the wall black, and I put the you know. You can't do that, isn't it? You know, of course, I said, you still have to, you know, so that, you know, you make it like, you know, when people come in, people feel comfortable. And because it's important when the color, you know, that actually, that is, when we do that, actually we do it with care. It's not that I do it for myself. I'm doing it like, you know, then people come here, be able to enjoy. It's not that I'm getting something out of it. I'm doing it, you know, to because sometimes people attach to letting go, you know. It's just because if I'm going to attach to letting go, I say, okay, I simply paint whatever color. This part of the wall green, and this is yellow, I let go, you know. No, it's not like that, you know. Sometimes people become like couldn't care less. I don't care. Then I'm letting go. It's not. They said the Buddha said, some people swing from one end to another, you know. So they said, actually, it's natural, it's normal, we do that. So, slowly as we, that's like, the middle way itself actually is the wisdom. So, of course, at the beginning, when we start to practice, we don't understand the teaching, we think that we let go, but actually we attach to letting go. And then sometimes we think that, oh, we think that we already let go, we don't care. And then sometimes we think that, you know, we sometimes get to holding on to things, you know, we think, oh, this is, I have to practice, you know, the self-righteousness, you know, the holding on to things. And then sometimes we don't always get it right, you know what I mean? So, of course, we always swing from one end to another, one to another. So then, as we have a deeper understanding, when we have more clarity, we have more wisdom, so this is how our wisdom increases. So our swing will be less. Then you got the middle way. That is equanimous. That is that, you know, that is the truly the wisdom to be able to go middle where actually you need to develop lots of wisdom. Of course, we sometimes don't get it right all the time. Sometimes we swing from one end to another. So the swing will be, you know, at the beginning that day, a little bit that, and then you got the wisdom. Yes. That's why actually we ultimately we are our own best teacher. We know for ourselves what works, what doesn't work. So we are the one, you know. Then actually ultimately we are our own best teacher. So the teacher, others, like for us, we can only give you the advice. Ultimately you have to do the job, you have to do the work and see what, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Yes, and okay. Any questions or comments? Oh, because actually, the letting go is not the object itself, that what you hold on to, like you constantly worry about him, you know, and then that attachment that creates lots of worries, suffering, anxieties, fear, that feelings. So when you let go, you don't feel that. But doesn't mean that you don't love that person. But you still care. Because sometimes when we attach to something, we sometimes, for example, some people attach so much to their children, they think that you belong to me, you are mine, and they try to control, and then actually they cause suffering to the children and also to themselves. We cannot control. If we truly love our children, we love them as they are. You say, oh, you have to listen to me, you know, if you are not a good girl, good boy, you know, then I don't love you, no. We love them as they are, no matter what they have done, you know. That part that sometimes, like, even like, for example, some parents said to me that, you know, oh, I'd rather my children not to grow up, you know, my two girls, you know, used to be so lovely, so nice, listen to me, you know, but now she's teenager, she's so rebellious, you know. I said, you have to learn to let that go. She's grown up now, she's no longer your little girl. But this is how we create so much suffering. She'll not be able to accept that my girl grow up. No, she has her own life. She's another individual being, you know. But this is the holding on that creates the suffering, you know. That, oh, I don't want my girl to grow up, you know. Now, you know, she don't listen to me anymore. Last time, so sweet that she listened to me, you know. I said, it's natural. I said, when I was a teenager, I don't listen to my parents also, you know. She asked me to do this, I do opposite, you know. That's the part of, this is the growing. I said, you know, they have to learn, you know. The growing is a process, you know. No, there's no good or bad experience. Every single experience we learn. And we have the opportunity to learn and grow. So some parents too protective that they're not allowed them to go through that. They try to bypass. Then they never learn, isn't it? So it's sometimes the all this experience actually that they grow, you know. And then they, eventually they have their own world. We cannot holding on to them and not to let them go, you know. So the kind of that holding on that causes us that suffering. Does it answer the question? Make sense? Eh? Huh? Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So like sometimes I never involve, like even I visit him, whatever he's like the way he teaches children, I never involve. I said, this is your job and you are the father. I never said, I never give him any suggestion, advice on how you should bring up your son, your children. His job is not my job. I don't interfere. Because sometimes how we keep interfering, Like, you know, some even grandparents interfere their son how the way they bring up their grandson, their grandchildren, you know what I mean? And you don't interfere. It's their responsibility. I'm out of it. You know? It doesn't mean that I don't love them. Don't care because of, it's really not my job to do that. You know? Yes. Any more questions or comments? No? So how does one let go of the pain from divorce? So time is the best medicine. Because sometimes we always want the pain go away. You know, it takes time, you know. But the problem is we want the pain go away so quickly. Every 5 minutes, you know, it's not cured yet, you know. And we try to do this, or maybe, you know, the cream is not enough, you know, I have to put more, you know, anti-inflammatory or whatever, you know, then it will cure quicker. No, it takes time, you know, it takes time. See how much you attach to that person, you know, if you attach, you know, if the attachment is strong, it takes longer time, the pain is more, you know. So it takes time. So it's just a matter of time. Just take time. So time is the best medicine. But sometimes we this is how we don't like something that is unpleasant. So we try to get rid of it. And then every 5 minutes we think that we can do something. So that, you know, isn't it? Sometimes it takes time to heal, isn't it? The wound takes time to heal. Doesn't mean that you can look at it, open your wound every 5 minutes, you're going to heal faster. You're not going to heal faster, isn't it? It takes time to heal. So time is the best medicine. So Diana, USA, I have inner peace. How can I maintain it when I work in an environment full of people with un-Buddhist values? So sometimes we just accept. That's why just now I talk about the acceptance. You don't expect any, because sometimes we not be able to accept that, we expect them, you know. We impose our ideas of who they should be. It's okay, they're not Buddhists, you know. Like for example, we have someone say, oh, I'm worried about my son, that, oh, my son wants to become a Muslim. I said, what's wrong with that? If your son wants to become a Muslim, let him become a Muslim. I say, as long as that make him happy, you know what I mean? You love him as he is, you know, no matter who he is, isn't it? He wants to become a Muslim, is that what make him happy? You let him be. I say, if you truly love your son, isn't it? So that's why, if you really come to that place of acceptance, you know, that we don't impose our ideas, you know, that people should be, the people around me should be all Buddhist. And then, you know, that it's true loving kindness is that we open the door of our heart, allow people to come in, no matter who they are, whether they are Buddhist or non-Buddhist. The Buddha said that is truly compassion, that we don't exclude them, we include them. So that we're opening the door of our heart, we allow people to come to us. So that is, we don't identify, we don't impose our values on others. We okay, we respect them as they are. We don't judge that person, and we try to see the best in others. But when we see the best in others, actually we grow that quality. So no one is wholly bad, you know. So that's right, to develop more loving kindness, openness to others, not to judge, you know, to accept as they are. It's not easy, but it's something that, you know, that if you be able to do that, you become more and more peaceful. You know, even you surround by whoever around you, it doesn't matter. Like for me, I used to, you know, deal with people like doing the project, you know, I have to deal with those traders, you know, builders, you know. And sometimes, you know, like when I go to the site, you know, sometimes those builders, you know, those guys there, those traders there, they didn't aware that I'm walking through, and then they're swearing, you know. And then they see me, oh, They're so sorry, you know. But at least they have that respect, they try, you know. But I'm okay, I don't judge them. I just, you know, it's just the way they are. It doesn't affect me and doesn't make me feel, you know, how terrible, why this person swearing. No, it's the person, it's okay the person swear, it's just the person, it's how the person is, isn't it? So I don't take it personally. I just take it, you know. So if you don't take things personally, actually you free yourself. But we tend to take things personally, everything, you know. So you don't take it personally. It just is how people is, you know. People do what they want to do, isn't it? Like, for example, like parents try to control the children not to cry. And, you know, it's just the children does what the children does, isn't it? You know, you don't control them not to do that, you know, so we don't control people. We just let people be. So you become a happier person if you don't control. So I hope that this answers your questions. And how did, from Israel, how can I deal with the heavy pain of separation with people that I'm deeply connected to? So again, this also like to separate from people that we love because of, we think that this is me and mine. And that's why it's just now I said, it takes a lot of practice. You develop present moment awareness to bring your mind back. For example, if we know for ourselves, when we are present in this moment, if we are mindfully breathing in, and we are mindfully know, and we sometimes when our body is here, actually our mind is not here, isn't it? We are somewhere else. So if you do the practice, bring your mind back, so you know, unite your body and mind, then we arrive in this moment. You know, this is knowing that you are here. But sometimes, even though we are here, but our mind is not here. So then, when that, because this is couldn't let go, is because we're still holding on to the past. That's like, develop that present moment awareness, you know, to try to live in. Of course, it's not easy, but you can train your mind, you know, little by little. You know, and also again, it's the same thing as the, almost quite same, similar to the first question. It's just a matter of time. So time is the best medicine. So you need times for the wound to heal. It's not going to heal overnight. So we look after it, but not every 5 minutes to open up your wound and see whether it's healed. So it takes time. So this is my questions. This is my answer to the question. So I hope this makes sense to this person. So any more questions or comments? Yes. Deb.
So it's okay we accept the other person, but isn't it our duty to improve the other person if he's always behaving the wrong way?
Actually, sometimes you have to understand the cause and effect and the karma. And we are the owner of our own karma. Whatever we do, we're responsible for ourselves. For example, if the person been nasty to us or they've been rude to us, they said that they have done us wrong. And then we got very angry and we upset and we do something, you know, we revenge or do something, you know, to hurt that person. And we also have to bear the karma of doing something unwholesome. So sometimes we cannot control what that person is, but what the person do, but you can always look after your own karma. You know, it's okay what the person did to me, but at least I look after myself. You know, because ultimately we are the owner of our own karma. We don't have to be responsible for that the other person's action. But if we react to that, then we have to be responsible for our unskillful action.
No, what I'm trying to ask, don't we try to improve that person?
Unless the person is willing to improve, you know, ultimately that, you know, we can only improve ourselves. It's easy to change ourselves. That person, you know, we can only do our best. It's not that we don't try, we don't do our best. Just give you an example. Some years ago, there was a young girl that she's in her, I think, a teenage girl. She's had problem with drugs. And then her parents brought her. And I told her that, you know, actually, I would love to help too. It's not that I don't want to help too. I'm more than happy. I love to help too. But first of all, are you willing to change, to improve yourself? It's up to you, you know. I said, if you're not willing, no matter how hard we try, what your parents do, what I'm trying to do, you're not going to change because it has to come from that person. Whether the person can improve or not, is ultimately they are the owner. But of course we can do our best. If we can do something, I will do something. But I also have to learn to let go. If the person, you know, don't have the willingness to want to change, I also have to let go, let the person be. You know, not holding on, oh, why this person don't listen to me and then I get upset. You know, then I become attached to that, you know. Then I causes myself suffering. So we kind to that person and then we do our best. But ultimately also depends on the person, whether the person is willing to improve, you know. We can only do our best. But and then after that, we just have to let go. So is the answer a question? Make sense to you? So, any more questions or comments? Yes. Pete.
We shouldn't really have bad friends, should we?
Huh?
We shouldn't really have bad friends, you know, like...
Our previous action, isn't that what you mean?
Well, like, it's good to surround ourselves with like good people, like-minded people.
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes we get affected too if we surrounded by, for example, like some people think that, oh, you know, that, oh, you know, like for example, if someone like to swear, if you associate with the person swear a lot, at the beginning you feel uncomfortable, you know, oh, I'm a bit uncomfortable. But after a while you get used to it and then you started to swear. we've been conditioned. This is how we condition. So we've been brainwashed because we listen all the time. We got it. We used to it. So that's why it's important. That's why the Buddha said who we associate with also is important.
Like filling up good friends. I mean, I have a few bad friends and like I tolerate them. But
okay. So I mean, doesn't mean that you have to be nasty to them. You don't have to associate with them, but still kind to that person.
Yeah, I sort of minimize contact with them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because you know that it's not good for you.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah. Okay. Just good friends.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions or comments? I think maybe that's it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Okay, good night. Sorry, it's just Arahant. Ahang sama samputo bhagava buddham bhagavantam adivate swakatam bhagavata dhammo dhammam namasami supatipannam Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅkho Sāṅkhaṁ